Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. If we're going to be a real Christian or an authentic Christian, and I'll use those words interchangeable for the next 12 or 13 weeks, it all starts with a daily relationship with Jesus. That's where it's got to start. Not only a daily relationship, but a relationship that's alive, that's living, that grows through time, that's dynamic, changes as your life changes, your relationship changes. And that kind of relationship comes with time. And I want you to stop and think about relationships that you have in your life. If you're married, husband and wife, maybe with your brothers and sisters, whatever kind of relationships you have, those relationships only prosper and grow and are this kind of relationship that I'm talking about tonight if you are willing to devote time to that relationship. Now, you can't have a good relationship, let me use with husband and wife for a minute, you can't have a good relationship if the only time you give that relationship is leftover time. I mean, it just won't work. I mean, it won't be the kind of growing relationship that you need. It won't work if it's just throwaway time. It won't work if it's just while you're doing something else time, or while you're going to sleep at night time. It takes quality time to build a relationship. And we're going to talk about same thing with your children. I mean, if the only time you give your children is while you're doing something else, like the only time that you interact with your kids is when you're eating dinner, or when you're watching TV, or when you're driving in a car, you won't have the kind of relationship that you need with your children. You need to give each one of your children some time that's just theirs, when you're not doing anything else but being with them. Now, you can maybe, you know, take part in some activity with them, but don't to say, well, I gave my son 2 hours on Tuesday night. Oh, what'd you do? Oh, well, we watched a movie on TV. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I mean, if you're out, you know, pitching a ball to one another one-on-one, that's good. Or, of course, you wouldn't want to do it on a day like today. But we're going to talk about those kind of relationships in the next few weeks, husband and wife, children. But tonight, I want to talk about the relationship that we have with Jesus. Because if we're going to be authentic in our Christian life, we've got to have a relationship that's growing, that's alive, a daily relationship with Him. And if we're going to do that, if we're going to have that kind of relationship, it takes time. Now, you say, well, who has that kind of time? Who has that kind of time today? I mean, we live in a fast-paced, jam-packed society. And if you don't believe that, just think about your day today. Think about what you did from the time you got up till right now. I mean, my day's a little bit different now than it was, but I'm 60 days ago, I got up, took a shower and brushed my teeth. I got in the car. I turned on the all-news radio station and drove to work and spent, all day at work. Got back in the car listening to the all-news radio station. I got home, ate supper, just spent a little time talking to Debbie and the kids, and then went to bed and then got up the next day and did it all over. And from the time I was in the office until the time I left, it was run. And the same thing in Debbie's case, and all the ladies that stay home. I mean, it's run from the time you get up in the morning till the time you go to bed at night. When do you have time to build relationship with your God. And if we're going to have a relationship with Jesus that leads to us being an authentic Christian, we got to make time. Today, after having studied this and thought about it a lot, I'll just tell you my schedule for today. I got up. Well, I didn't get up. I turned on the light when the alarm clock went off, and I read my Bible for 20 minutes. And then I prayed for 20 minutes. And I'm going to give you some suggestions on, I've all my life, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, I've heard people say, I prayed for 4 hours. And I've thought to myself, man, prayed for 4 hours. I had a tough time praying for 5 minutes. I mean, if you're not identifying with me, I understand you guys are probably more real Christians than I am, but I had a tough time concentrating for 5 minutes. My mind would think about things I needed to do that day and I found some things in studying that has helped me. So I got up today and I read my Bible for 20 minutes. I prayed for 20 minutes. And then I went on with all the other things I did before. Before I go to bed tonight, I will read my Bible another 30 minutes and I'll pray for another 20 minutes. And I'll tell you how I'm doing that with some suggestions tonight. All right. Let me catch up now with my notes. Let me just say this one thing. I want to make sure everybody understands this. The kind of things I'm talking about tonight, your salvation does not depend on. When you got saved, it was like this. Jesus proposed, you said I do, and there's no divorces. When you accepted what he did for you on Calvary, and you accepted it, you got it. And the Bible says that's eternal. But the kind of things I'm talking about tonight makes the marriage sweeter. It lets you walk with him on a daily basis. And it'll make the relationship that you have with him real. Now I'm going to give you four suggestions tonight for how to have this kind of relationship with Jesus. And you might say, well, Brother Darrell, some of these sound kind of, I don't know if they're for me. You might say, they may not be for me. And they may not. You might not need to do these things. The only thing I can tell you that I've, in the last month or so, I found them very helpful to me to help me in my relationship with Jesus. And I'd encourage you, like I did those that were in my class Sunday morning. Some of this is going to be repetition for you, Randy, if you've been reading your book this week, because it's some of the same stuff. But I'd encourage you, if perhaps you do have problems in some of these areas, or you think that your Christian walk in these areas could be better, to just try them. Try them for a month and see if it makes a difference before you just automatically discard them. Now, I'm going to mention four things tonight. And I would encourage you to do these things every day. Hit and miss won't work in these areas. But I'm going to encourage you to do them every day, if you can, at the same time, in the same place. All right? So let me mention these four things. And here's the first one. Journaling. And what I mean by journaling is, I'll tell you what I mean in a minute, but basically what it is, it's to review your life yesterday and write down what happened. Sort of like, you say, well, it's sort of like keeping a diary. Yeah, it's sort of like keeping a diary. It's sort of like keeping a log, whatever you want to call it. But it's basically, I look at what happened in my life yesterday, and I write it down, and I try to learn from what happened yesterday. You say, well, that's, and I can hear some of you guys especially, you say, oh, that sounds like a diary. Those are for little girls to keep locked up underneath their bed. Well, and maybe you don't need to do this, because maybe you're the kind of person that never makes the same mistake twice. Or you never go to bed having regrets about how you spent the day, or you've never made a decision that's inconsistent with your Christian values. And if you've never done any of those things, well, you don't need to do this. But if there ever have been days in your life where you look back as you've laid your head on the pillow at night and said, you know, I made a bad decision today, or I did something today that really wasn't consistent with my Christian values. And what I'm trying to say is, if you think your walk with God can be closer than it is now, I'd encourage you to try this for a month and see if it makes a difference. And as I mentioned, I think I mentioned it last week. Think about with me just for a minute, professional sports teams, especially football teams, since it's Super Bowl time of the year. Somebody tell me, what do they do on Monday morning when they get together as a team? That's right. They look at every play in that game. Now, they don't do that so they can all sit around and pat each other on the back and say, boy, that was really good. Now, they do that sometimes, but what they're looking for is they want, as they look at those films, they want the coaches and the staff and the other players to tell them, hey, you know, now if you would have blocked a little bit different way on this play, it would have been better. Or, you know, if you would have come up quicker from your stance, it would have been better. What they're looking for is, and I told you a couple weeks ago never to do this, but they're looking for constructive criticism. They're looking for ways that they could improve how they play the game. And I don't know, you stop and think about how much equipment and how much time and how much effort they devote to that. I mean, they spend a big part of the day Monday doing it. Some of the plays they look at over and over and over and over again. Shouldn't we do the same thing as Christians? Shouldn't we want to serve God so well? And shouldn't we want to walk so close to Him? Shouldn't that be so important to us? And our relationship to Him so important to us that I want to know when I mess up? Shouldn't I want to know? Shouldn't I want to look at if I'm making any progress or not? Shouldn't I want to look at if my decision making and my marriage and the way I'm raising my children? Shouldn't I want to ask myself, does that really reflect what being a true Christian is? And what I'm suggesting tonight is the only way that we can do that is to consistently look at how we're living our life and learn from the mistakes that we make and try not to make them again. Now, there's nothing hard or complicated about this. What I'd suggest you do is go to Kmart and buy you a 39-cent spiral notebook. They got them on sale this week. I know it's in the paper. Free for a dollar. All right? And you can get one for about 5 cents with tax. And here's what you do. Just open it up to the first page when you're going to start this. And to make it simple, just limit yourself to one page a day. All right? And so on that page, right at the top, yesterday. And you can, if you want to put the date and the date, you can do that. But then on that page, just write a brief description of everything that happened to you yesterday. I mean, if you met somebody new, write that down. If you were reading your Bible, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but if you were reading your Bible and God impressed a certain thought as you read your Bible, write that down. If something made you happy yesterday, write that down. If something made you sad, write that down. If you drive a long way to work like Joanne and I do, and you heard something on the radio that brought a thought to mind, write that down. If you were frustrated about something yesterday, write that down. And so you write everything that happened. Now, you know, you don't need to write, well, I had a cheeseburger for lunch, or I had a stomach ache, or nothing like that. But write down how you interacted with people, what you thought about, what kind of emotions you experienced that day. And then once you get it all down on a piece of paper, Stop and think about it. Analyze it. Look at the decisions that you wrote down on that piece of paper, the decisions that you made yesterday. And ask yourself, was that a good decision? Was it a bad decision? If I had to go back and make that decision over, now that I've had time to step back and think about it a little bit, would I do it the same way? Would I make the same decision? Why? Why not? If you had some interaction with another person, examine that interaction you had with that person. Ask yourself, was it the way I mean, now that I've had time to think about it and analyze it, did it come out the way that I wanted it to come out? Did it happen the way I wanted it to happen? Would I do it any differently if I could go back and relive that moment over? And if your answer to those questions, yeah, I would do it differently, write down in your journal or on that page where you describe that event, if I ever face this situation again, this is how I'm going to do it different. So write it down, analyze it, think about it, and put your thoughts down in that journal. So that's my first suggestion. My second suggestion, and this is one you've heard before from me, so you won't hear it. I won't spend a lot of time on it tonight. Every day when you get in this, when you come to this place at this certain time, write down what happened yesterday. Number two, spend some time in God's Word, reading the Bible. And there's a lot of different ways to do it. I think we still have some open windows, daily bread, open windows out on the table. That's a good way to do it. It's got a scripture reading for every day. Those of you that have taken the survival kit, got a scripture reading for every day to start with. If you don't want to use that, then get you a plan where you can read through the Bible in a year. And I'd encourage everybody, like I did Sunday night, to get you a plan and read through the Bible. Here, I'll just tell you the plan I'm using this year. Every day this year, I'm reading five Psalms and one chapter in Proverbs. There's 150 chapters in Psalms. So I'm going to try to read the Psalms every month. Five a day, 30 days a month, that's 150 Psalms. There's 31 chapters, I think. Yeah, 31 chapters in Proverbs. So I'm going to try to read the book of Proverbs every month. And then I've decided I'm going to spend an hour a day, 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes at night, reading, starting in Genesis, going through Revelation. Because it takes you about 80 hours to read all the way through the Bible. And my goal this year is to read it once a quarter. So if I read an hour a day, there's about 92, 93 days in a quarter. Every quarter, if I spend an hour a day, thereabouts, I'll make it through the Bible. So that's my plan. Get you a plan for reading the Bible. And I read this, I don't know if it was, I can't remember where I read this, but somebody was saying, you wouldn't try to live on eating once a week on Sunday. You wouldn't try to live with just one meal a week. I mean, you may be able to live, but you sure wouldn't be very happy or very content. You get hungry along about Wednesday or Thursday. And same thing when it comes. This is our spiritual food. This is the Bible that talks about itself being bread. And we need to eat from it every day. And so I'd encourage you to get a schedule and read the Bible. And it doesn't have to be an hour. I mean, if you've only got 10 minutes that you can do it, it's probably 10 minutes more than you're doing it today. So put it in your schedule and do it. All right, so number one, journal. Number two, read your Bible. Number three, pray. Pray. I think if most people were honest, they'd have to say, boy, when it comes to prayer, I don't have much to say. I mean, if it wasn't for Brother Larry doing us the prayer list, and if maybe I could pray 10 minutes by going through and reading everybody's name, but if it was up to me, I don't know how I'd pray very long. And I think I've been reading books. I've read two books so far on prayer, and there's about eight in this series I've got. And this guy starts out each one of these books by saying, the modern-day Christian does not know how to pray and does not avail themselves of the power that's available to us in prayer. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've had a tough time. I mean, after 5 minutes, I ran out of stuff to say. And I've always thought about these people that say, oh, I prayed for 2 hours this morning. What did you pray for 2 hours about? So I ran across a suggestion in this book I was reading about 2 months ago that says, why don't you try writing out your prayers? Writing out my prayers. And he says, divide your prayers into four areas. All right? Four areas. He said, number one, start out with adoration. Praise God for something. And he says, and this is what I've been doing the past month. He says, pick an attribute of God, like he's everywhere at the same time, or he's all-powerful, or he's a prayer-answering God. And he says, just, you know, you can do it in the same book that your journal's in if you want. But he said, just get a piece of paper and write that attribute on that piece of paper. And then he said, just spend 5 or 10 minutes thinking about how that attribute applies to God and what that means to you. For example, mine today was that God is a prayer-answering God. He answers prayer. He not only hears me when I pray. Now, I was thinking about this today. I don't have ready access to the president of General Motors. I work for General Motors, but I cannot just go in to the chairman of the board's office and say, hey, well, you know, I'm one of the guys that work for you way down the line, and I was just thinking about this thing, and I wanted to talk to you about it today. I can't do that. I don't have ready access to President Bush. I mean, I just can't go to Washington and walk into the Oval Office and say, Mr. President, I was thinking about this thing today that would, you know, help the economy. I don't have that access. But I was thinking this morning, you know, that anytime I want to, I can walk into the presence of God and talk to him about what's on my mind. I can do that. And I was thinking about that this morning. I got excited. I can walk it anytime I want, any hour of the day. You know, I can't call. I would even hesitate to call some of you guys at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, if I had a good reason, I'd call you. But if I just, you know, if I call Walt at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, Walt, I just want to talk to you for a minute. You know, he'd say, well, call me back in the morning. But, you know, I can call God any time of the night that I want to. And he will listen to me and hear me. But that's what I'm talking about. Get an attribute of God, something that you can praise him for, and just praise him for it. I mean, think of songs that go along with that. This morning I thought of the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer. And I, you know, and this is why you need to get by yourself, but I sung that song. Some of you wouldn't need to get by yourself, Brother Wendell. You could sing it out loud, but some of us others, like Walt and me, we need to get by ourselves if we're going to sing. But sing a song and just praise God for that attribute. All right? And then he said that when we start off by praising God and worshiping him, it does several things for us. First of all, it reminds us who we're praying to. Now, if you stop and think about, for example, like I did today, we have a prayer-answering God. It reminded me, well, I'm praying. That's who I'm praying to, a prayer-answering God. It also sort of softens you up. I mean, when was it? I can't remember. It was one day last week. I have a God that cares for me. And I spent 10 or 15 minutes just thinking about that. A God, I mean, he's got the whole universe to hold together. The Bible says that he not only created everything, but I think it says in Colossians, by him everything exists. And he's sort of holding everything together. And yet a God that not only is responsible for the whole universe, he cares about me. I mean, just like one little speck of sand on the whole beach, he cares about me. Now, if you'll get in your prayer life where you'll say, God, I love you, I adore you, I praise you, it gets you ready to pray. The next Next thing he says after adoration, he says, confession. Confession. I think if we were honest, most of us would say, well, we're sort of oops confessors. Something comes into our life that we know is wrong, we say, oops, Lord, I'll take care of that in a little bit. Something else comes up, and we say, oops, I'll take care of that in a little bit. And then a little bit never comes. Or if it does, we give him a blanket confession. I'm sorry for all my sins. Now, that's nice, but it's not very painful. And it probably won't do much to change us. I mean, if all we do in confessing our sins is, I'm sorry for all my sins. I mean, you can go to bed at night and not worry about that. But if you're writing out your prayers and you come to this part toward confession and you say, I hurt my wife by saying something unkind to her. Or I lied to my children because I promised to do something with them and I didn't find the time. Or I broke the law because I went 75 miles an hour in the 65 mile hour zone. And you put that down on paper and you confess sin by sin to God, it does a little bit more to you than just saying, Lord, forgive me for all my sins. Well, you might run out of paper. But I think, and this guy pointed out, two things happen when you do that. First of all, you experience real forgiveness. I mean, until you confess it, sin by sin, I don't think you get the forgiveness. I mean, because, you know, just saying, God, forgive me of all my sins, which one? Which one? Which one do you mean? But when we start naming them, then I think we experience real forgiveness. And then the second thing is, I think we feel real thankfulness because we got a God that will forgive us. If we confess our sins, the Bible says, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then that leads you right into the third part, which is thanksgiving. Just start thanking God. Now, in the first part, you worshiped Him because of who He was. In the second part, you confessed to Him. And then in this part, you start thanking Him. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks. I was thinking about this week. There's a difference between being grateful and giving thanks. Remember the story in the Bible where Jesus healed the 10 lepers? I think all 10 of them were grateful. They felt grateful. But only one of them came back and said thank you to Jesus. I remember when Debbie and I were living in Indiana, the pastor in the church that we went to had two little boys. They were twins. And when we were there, they were about 4 years old. One of them was just a wild kid. I mean, you could not control him. All right? The other one, he was just the opposite. He was as polite a kid, even at 4 years old. You'd have him over for dinner. This guy sat still long enough to eat. You were lucky. But this other one, he'd sit, eat, and then every time we had him over for dinner, he'd say, thank you very much for that meal. Now, you know, I don't cook very often, but I'm, you know, I imagine how some of the ladies must feel. I mean, when I eat, I'm grateful for my meal. I'm grateful all the time. Every time I eat, I'm grateful. But I don't say thank you every time. But I would think, and you guys, girls can help me, I would think it would mean something to you, especially if some of your children would say, thank you. I mean, you know they're grateful. Maybe you do. But wouldn't it mean something if they said, thank you, thank you? That's the same way God feels. Maybe He knows we're grateful. But we need to say, thank you. Here's what I'm thankful for. And then the last part of prayer is supplication, where you ask for things. Where you say, Lord, here's what I need. I'm laying before it because You told me in Philippians to ask for everything I need. Sometimes we need to say, I don't know what I need. You know better what I need. You just give me what I need, and I'll be happy with it. But pray. And then the fourth thing. So we talked about joy. journaling or making a diary, whatever you want to call it, reading your Bible, praying. And then the fourth thing is to just take some time and listen. Listen. Say, oh, Brother Darrell, is God going to talk to me? Am I going to hear a voice from heaven? No, I haven't. And if you have, I'd like to talk to you afterwards because I'd like to hear about that experience. But I've never heard a voice from heaven. But I do think that God talks to us with impressions. He'll call a scripture first back to mind, and he'll use things like that to speak to us. But we've got to take the time to listen. In our hurry-up world, our fast-paced world, our world life that's jam-packed full of stuff, if we don't take some time and set it aside, say, Lord, I'm listening now, we'll never hear. How did he speak to Elijah? Remember? In a still small voice. And Elijah had to get to the point in his life. Remember, he was running at that point in time. And he was hiding out. He had to get to the point, a time in his life, where he could just sit still and be quiet and listen. And I think if we're going to be a real Christian, we need to do the same thing. We ought to look at what happened yesterday. We ought to read our Bible. We ought to pray. And I know I can see some of you have skepticism in your face. You say, I just don't have time to sit around and do nothing. It's just not my nature. I mean, just to sit around and do nothing? Yeah, just sit around and do nothing. And listen. Yeah, here's some questions. Here's some questions you might ask as you're listening. Lord, what's the next step in my relationship with you? What do I need to do? What do I need to do in our relationship? What do I need to do next? What's the next thing I need to do as I develop my character? And he might give you a scripture that says, well, you need to be more honest, or you need to be more righteous. What's the next thing I need to do in my relationship with my spouse or with my children? And it sort of goes back to what we were talking about Sunday night. Your relationship with each other, husband and wife. What's your plan? What's your plan? Or does it just happen? Your relationship with your children. What's your plan? Or does it just happen? If we'll do that, if we'll take that time, I think God will speak to us. I mean, you won't hear an audible voice, but he'll send a scripture verse into your mind, perhaps one that you've memorized. He may send a sermon that you've heard back into your mind. He may send a song that Brother Wendell sung back into your mind. If we'll take the time to listen. Now, we may not understand. We may not understand why. I'll give you, I've been trying this for a month. Day before yesterday, I asked him some of these questions. And he brought to mind somebody that I went to school with that I haven't seen for 5 years. And the impression I got was I was supposed to write that person a letter. So I sat down, wrote him a 2-page letter. Called me on the phone today. Got the letter. And he's having a tough time. He's having a tough time in his life. Some things that are going on that are just not good. But that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. God will give us, he'll tell us what we need to do. All right, I know we're out of time. Any questions or comments? Again, I challenge you to try it. And you know, maybe you can pray for 4 hours and praise God if you can. Maybe you don't need that kind of discipline. But if you think some of this stuff will help you, I encourage you to try. Just try it. All right, next week we're going to talk about what it means to be authentic when it comes to being a Christian man.